It's a really happy moment and a really historic one as well, because most people in the world, and certainly in this country, won't remember a coronation. And so, because the late Queen was so long reigning, of course, it's been almost 70 years since her coronation. And it feels like a whole new era. We're still with the House of Windsor. It's not a change of dynasty, but it does feel very new. I think people are still getting used to using the word king, which doesn't yet trip off the tongue. But maybe this will help to really cement that in our minds. And so, as a historian of the monarchy, I think I'm not even going to be blinking on the 6th of May.
It's going to be strange, isn't it, not having the Queen there? Because this is a royal event, we're all used to seeing the Queen there, so it will be a bit odd, won't it?
It will be odd, you're right. She's such a fixture, and those balcony appearances and all the rest of it. But of course, it's going to be led by the new monarch, by King Charles. And I don't think there's going to be a lack of pomp and pageantry. Of course, we hear about, oh, they're paring back and they're not using this, that and the other. Yeah, the royal family know how to put on a good show. And that is one of the most essential ingredients for success for any monarch. You need to, it was once said, you need to dazzle your subjects into submission. And I think that's still the case, actually.
What's the significance of the coronation? Why is this something that we do?
The first coronation that we know about in any detail is that of King Edgar. He was an Anglo-Saxon king all the way back in the year 973. And he kind of set the blueprint for every coronation that's followed. So all of the key elements are still there as they were in 973. What really blows me away, even some of the music. So he first commissioned Zadok the Priest, that famous coronation anthem. And of course, it's been performed at every coronation since. The arrangement we know best is Handel's for King George II. But the original music goes back to the 10th century. So, of course, royalty is ancient. We see lots of things repeated through history. But the coronation is the most ancient royal ceremony of all. So it's thrilling.
And is this a religious ceremony? Do we have to be up on our religion to be able to follow it?
Well, not really. I think it confirms the king's role as head of the church. So it's a sort of twofold oath that he makes. Firstly, to uphold the laws of the state and the people, but also of the church. But it's not highly religious, certainly not as much as it would have been over the centuries. It's more about confirming him as king. I mean, he became king as soon as his mother died, but it's sort of a confirmation of that and a moment to celebrate. That's why there's always a fairly lengthy gap between the beginning of a reign and then a coronation, because you don't necessarily feel celebratory when you've just become the monarch.
This one, I understand, has been pared down, so it's only 2 hours.
It's been reduced over the centuries. The Queen's was almost 3 hours, that's what I read. And even then, her and her ladies had a quick recess and they had sausage rolls and a flask of brandy, which I love. People were starting to flag. But really, look at coronation through history. And we're not even talking several hours, but several days. There was the procession from the Tower of London, not the day before, but the day before the coronation. And then afterwards, you know, days of tournaments and feasting and festivities. So actually, as is pretty much blink and you'll miss it compared to most of history.
And they're going to arrive at Westminster Abbey at 11. So what can we expect? What should we be looking out for when we're watching the television? What are the key moments?
I think that, you know, that procession down the Abbey, you know, this is going to be full royal bling. It was said in the reign of Queen Victoria, the mass of people expect to see a crown and sceptre and all that kind of thing. They want gilding, and we're going to get gilding. And I'm interested to hear the music that Charles has commissioned for the event. There will be these modern touches alongside the kind of ancient ceremony, and then really the coronation ceremony gets underway properly. And you know, you have the presentation of the monarch to the people and so on, and you know, it's all going to be highly symbolic, highly ceremonial, and just unmissable in my view. But then I'm a royal historian, so I'm perhaps biased.
Talking of that, you're on your tour. You've got your tour and you're coming to Epsom Playhouse.
Yes.
Which is lovely and local for our listeners. So tell me, what date are you coming to Epsom?
So I'm coming to Epsom on the 24th of May, and my theatre show is called How to Be a Good Monarch. And it's using this moment, this coronation-inspired moment, to look back over 1,000 years of history and pick up some top tips for current and future monarchs. What does it take to succeed? So it's a kind of show of two halves. The first act is all about the do's of monarchy. The shining examples, of course, my favourite Elizabeth I is in there. And then the second act is the don'ts, the pitfalls to avoid. And I have to say there are quite a few of those as well. But it's a really fun show for anybody interested in history or the monarchy or who'd just like to go to the theatre. You know, this is a show. It's not a lecture. It's got props and special effects and music, and it's enormous fun. I'm certainly enjoying it.
You've got your books, you've got your podcast. To me, it sounds like interest in the monarchy is soaring.
Yeah.
You know, yet the polls would have us believe it's waning. So yeah. What's your experience of that, being out on the road, talking to people?
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I work at royal palaces, so of course it's a captive audience. But I don't necessarily pick up this lack of enthusiasm that everybody's talking about. Everyone who I've met recently is enormously excited about this moment. People are travelling from all over the world to be there on Saturday. So I don't see a tailing off of interest in the monarchy. Delighted to say my book sales don't suggest that either. People are still buying books about the monarchy. So I don't know. There have always been opinion polls and often worrying ones for the monarchy, even during Elizabeth II's reign. The sort of untouchable, you know, amazing queen who everybody respected. There were highs and lows in those opinion polls, but I think on the whole, people are still in favour of the monarchy and they're still interested in the monarchy.
There is this view that it should skip a generation and go to William, but that's not how monarchy's done, is it?
No, it's really not. You can't sort of meddle with the royal succession like that. Otherwise, you know, it's all going to fall apart quite rapidly. I hear that a lot, actually, mainly from American audiences. You're absolutely right. Why don't we just skip to William? Because, you know, he's younger and more popular and all the rest of it. But it doesn't work like that. It's ingrained in the succession that it's, you know, the now the eldest child of a monarch, not just the eldest son, thanks to the late queen. She's finally brought equality into it. And yet we have a long line of kings to come, really. So, no, it's very important that the succession is upheld. And of course, Charles, he's the longest serving heir to the throne in history. He's got some experience to bring to this role.
I was going to ask, has that helped or hindered him? Because he's been in the role of prince for so long.
I don't know. I think the wealth of experience is going to prove more of an advantage. And he's done amazing charitable work. He's been an advocate for a long time for causes such as the environment. And now we kind of realise he was right. He used to be mocked for it. So I think experience will win out over the other issues, the fact that he's the oldest monarch ever to come to the throne. And, you know, the monarch does still have a very valued constitutional role to play, a sort of an advisory role, really, to keep a check on government. And Charles has had a long time to watch and observe what's going on at the heart of political affairs. So I think that will be a big plus as well.